Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One. Eddie King skies it to center. Reader backs up. That is plenty deep. Alisea tags to the plate. He scores, and Louisville lives!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Going after the first pitch. A high rising fly ball.
Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
15 seconds. Gustav Forsling holds. The Panthers begin to celebrate. Panther perfection. The Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
Hump day.
Happy hump day, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
What is happening?
Welcome in on a rainy Wednesday.
Yeah, where the hell did this come from? Walked out of the house today, got some raindrops on the face. What is this nonsense?
I did not experience any on the west side.
Well, look at you. You're hoity-toity. You got a little
permanent
umbrella over there on the west side.
I don't know.
I love that he talks as if like the west side avoids anything negative.
It never happens.
Oh,
over
it's
there.
Not doing that on the west side.
It never rains over there on the west side. Don't you know that? Never rains at Autzen Stadium, and it never rains on the west side of Portland.
No, it caught me off guard. I'm just saying, you caught me off guard with that. I did.
Yeah,
not,
caught me
I
off guard too.
Experience
like
that
what is this drizzly mist on my face right now? I'm just trying to walk to my truck and go to work.
Well, on the deep east side, I didn't have it either.
In the southeast side, I did have it. I had some rain this morning.
I drove into about the southeast
down
side.
Down into the dirty southeast, we had some rain down in the ghetto where I live.
In the ghetto?
Down in the ghettos of Portland, man. Got homeless people everywhere. It's
chaos. Really?
No, not really.
I was going to say, when did Sowood become that's the richest ghetto.
I mean, there's some pockets.
There's little pockets.
There's some hobos walking around.
Yeah, there's some hobos.
We tried to take a little guy to a park. There's one that's like 10 minutes. There's one that's right by the house, but last week we walked to one that was about 10 minutes away. It's got a little creek in it. That has to be kind of fun. Go put your toes in the water, and there was some crazy lady there as we walked up. It was like, it was a pretty hot day, maybe 80 degrees, relatively hot. She was wrapped up in like 15 blankets. Like just toes in the water. I'm like, are you pooping in there? Are you peeing in there? I don't know why. I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm going to stay away from that water for a little bit.
Do people still reference them as hobos?
I don't know. We kind of should. It's kind of a fun name.
Is there like a meaning to hobos or is that just a term?
I don't know where the term hobo. I think of hobo like back in the 30s.
I have a guy with a stick and
a stick and the bandana,
with the stuff
to
in it.
Hop on a train.
Yeah, that's what I have in my head too. Yeah.
There is
slight limp.
There is no known origin of the word hobo, but it is generally associated with the late 19th century, particularly after the Civil War. Theories have been proposed. Some suggest it might have been a shortened term of homeward bound or homeless boy.
Oh, okay.
So, okay.
Yeah, hobo would make sense there.
And basically, a common greeting on the railroads. Hey, hobo. That's what they used to say to each other.
Hopping trains,
riding around town to town, trying to get home.
Seems like a fun thing to do, and then you find out how dangerous it is.
Yeah, back in the day, probably pretty cool if you got on one, but also, you know, make sure you don't kill yourself doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge. Yeah. But if you can ride a train for free, that's a decent little ticket right there.
I want to start the show. We have a lot to get to today. We're doing our top 10 post-show show.
We are doing that today. Yes, we are.
Do you have your top 10?
I have my top 10.
Really?
I'm ready to go. I got my top 10.
How many, let me ask you this real quick. I'll get to the thing I was going to get to. How many of our top 10s, how many players will we have in our top 10s that are the same?
I would say the over-under is 7.5.
See, I think it's a high number too, because I went through my list and I wrote every great player to me that I would put in this conversation.
I had a list of 15 or 16.
That's about what mine was.
You're just like, yep. And then you start, I think the top, sorry, I'm a little choked up already.
A little froggy today. We're getting emotional about the NBA top 10 list.
I believe he's ready to embrace
debate.
I will remember you.
I think the top five will look pretty similar.
Really?
I think they'll be I think they will be the same five. I just don't know if they'll be in the same order.
I got Allen Iverson third. Joke's on you, buddy.
AI's going to be third and Jokic is going to be his one. Where's LeBron or Jordan?
Who knows? Bums, dude. These guys suck. Playing on super teams. Get out of here. Top seven, maybe.
So we're going to do that after the show today.
Yes, it will be 3 hours of splitting hairs.
Are we doing it in here or are we doing it out there?
I brought the remote equipment.
I think we should do it in here. My vote's going to be doing it.
Okay. You don't want people to hear your top 10?
No, it's not that I don't want people to hear our top 10. It's that people are going to come over and try and talk, and it's just going to be a thing. And, you know, I think from an E standpoint, it'll be easier. Now, you guys want the ambiance and the people walking by and yelling things, we can do
that. Well, you guys will
have
about, I don't know, 20 minutes to figure that out. So I will go when the show is over. I will run up, grab us breakfast, bring it back.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
We're getting breakfast out of the deal.
Yeah.
Dude, I picked a great day to eat almost nothing today.
Look at that. A little bonus at the end of the
show
today.
I totally forgot you were doing that.
We're not even going to yell about our top 10s. We're going to be so excited about a free breakfast. We're not going to even get mad who's your seventh best player.
Now, here's my thinking. I thought we would do this on the couch.
Okay, you went on the couch?
Well, because here's the good part about it. I'm not going to hear this show.
That's true. Ooh.
I'll be on a golf course.
That's true. We're going to be out of the Fan Golf Classic next Tuesday.
Popping a gummy.
Have it. It's going to be good weather.
I mean, I'm not saying I won't, but I'm not saying I will.
What is the weather looking like for next Tuesday?
It better not be this.
Better not be this.
No.
82 and sunny.
Yes.
Oh, it's perfect.
Now, we did have a year
where it was kind of crappy,
didn't we?
We're going to get a little bit of stuff in the weekend. Yeah,
I know we've had really hot days.
Yes, I remember that. I was in the... were you guys out there that year? It was the first year I was out on the driving range.
Yeah.
We've been there every year.
We didn't just get here.
Yeah.
We're not 21 years old anymore.
I'm not Danny Morang, all right? I've been here for 17 years.
We've been here. We know.
I've lost track of the years.
I know you have.
Yeah, they fly by. They fly by as years go.
I've lost track of the years when you told me you've been the voice of the Hops for 6 years. I feel like that's three, but okay.
The early years of the Fan Golf Classic basically turned into what can we make Swigard do that he won't sue us over?
It was kind of messed up.
That was kind of the way the golf tournament started.
But then they found me the desk with the plexiglass. But the first year I was in a suit with padding that they do when they're training the dogs.
The police dogs.
And it was 104 degrees.
Yeah, that was probably not a great idea. We also had the year you were out in like a canoe in the pond.
I remember that.
Yeah. By the 9th and 18th
that threw
greens.
Like a lead balloon.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that one was a pretty.
That was not
dumb
a idea.
Yeah,
people were like chipping
tennis balls
at you
or
something.
Did you ever even get hit?
No, I don't even think they couldn't hit the boat. I mean, there was maybe a couple that like hit.
It just doesn't
the side
seem
of the
fun
boat.
For anybody. I wouldn't want to hit a tennis ball.
No.
You're in a boat.
You
got
to go pick up
when
all
we
the tennis
balls. When we got the plexiglass going up and we had the big metal desk, which got
that
lost.
That one was pretty funny.
And we would go live and we'd
go
hear,
live and
right?
you would hear it, you know, skip on it or whatever during the show. And
that was relatively funny.
That was fun.
People working on all their punch shots to get out of the trees.
Exactly.
Low running four iron. Here it comes at you, buddy. Head on a swivel.
people.
So we'll get to the hockey stuff. I'm going to give you some hockey stuff.
Oh, we got hockey stuff today? RIP.
Yeah, that was, I mean, congratulations to Florida, but.
Series ended with a dud.
That was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Corey Perry is not a name I know.
You don't know who Corey Perry is?
He's only been in the league for like 20 some odd years.
He's won multiple cups, at least one. Has he got two cups?
No.
Just one cup?
Just the one with
Oh, he does have one.
Yes, he does.
With the Ducks early in his
career. He won a title with Anaheim. There's some,
okay, so I didn't know who Corey Perry was.
Yeah.
Who would the equivalent of an NBA Corey Perry be? Give me a name.
Really good player for 20 years.
Mike Conley?
Andre Iguodala? Is that decent?
No, he's more, because he was really good, like Al Horford.
I mean, Andre Iguodala was pretty good.
Yeah, Iguodala was good. Did you not think he won the finals MVP?
Well, he was an all-star multiple times.
Maybe he's in my top 10 all time.
Could he be today? Finals MVP 2015.
Corey Perry was one of their top players at 40 whatever. What is he, 39 or 40?
Yeah, he's aged better than Iguodala. I'll give you that.
I'm more Al Horford.
Al Horford. Okay. Yeah. What? Okay. Al Horford. I'm sorry I haven't heard of the Al Horford of hockey.
How dare you?
Got accused of not doing enough hockey yesterday by a listener. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's pretty clear hockey's not my sport. I tee you guys up.
I thought you were Blue Line Brandon. I thought it was a thing.
Blue Line Brandon's a predictor.
Just a predictor.
And he's the best one in this studio.
Not a breaker downer.
He knows everything about hockey, but he doesn't watch hockey.
He just gives you the picks.
So Corey Perry having a ring actually changes the whole point of this entire.
Oh, sorry.
Did you have an opening rant there that you had planned?
No, I didn't have a rant. I there's a note going around that Corey Perry has lost 5 of the last 6 Stanley Cups.
Because he's been on the Oilers.
He was on the Oilers
last year.
He was on the Lightning,
Tampa Bay, and then Montreal made it when they were in the bubble. I think Montreal was in the Cup final, right? The year of the bubble?
Yes.
That's pretty wild.
Now that you told me he has a ring, it doesn't really make this...
Early in his career.
Yeah,
with
he lost
Ducks.
With Dallas. He lost with Montreal, Tampa Bay, Edmonton twice.
Yeah. Back-to-back years.
The fact
tough.
That he has a ring doesn't make this as sad as it seemed going into the show. So now that I know he's a ring, it's like, he could have had...
It's been a long time. He could have had a lot more.
Could have had 7.
The legacy's a lot different if they find a way to win those series. Yeah.
But in that sport, if you get one ring, you're good. If McDavid gets a ring, it's like Ovechkin. It's an all-time great dude.
And it took Ovechkin a long time to get his.
Exactly.
He didn't get it until a couple of years
ago.
He's
starting to go down the Ray Bourque road.
Who?
McDavid. Years, Ray Bourque was the best defender in all of hockey, and he was a Boston Bruin forever.
Is McDavid even 30?
He's been there longer.
He's 28 years old.
Okay.
Should we be saying Ray Bourque? Yes.
he's got another at least 8 years of elite hockey.
I remember Ray Bourque winning one, and I didn't know anything about him. Yeah.
Because he went late.
And that was a big deal because of how old he was. But, I don't think we should do that McDavid yet.
Not quite yet. 28 years old, a little too young. Yeah. I think when you get to 32 or 33,
the big question will be, will he re-sign with Edmonton?
Yeah, he could be leaving. He could be Bolton.
Or is he... says I need a fresh start somewhere.
Why would you leave?
Well, they didn't get him a lot of help, and they have goaltender issues.
Didn't they give him an MVP teammate? isn't Dreisaitl a good player?
Yeah, but they're
if we're being honest, Leon Dreisaitl's an incredible player.
Uh-oh, I feel a butt.
There is a butt coming, is that he gets to play with the greatest hockey player that's ever walked the face of the earth.
That's what I'm saying. McDavid has a Dreisaitl next to him.
Yeah, which I don't think Dreisaitl wins an MVP or Hart Trophy if he's not playing alongside Connor McDavid. He's a very good player. If you put him on his own team as the number one guy, he is a all-star, carry a team kind of guy. He's not winning Hart Trophies. He's not to that level.
So that's really McDavid's MVP.
He benefits greatly from having Connor McDavid suck up all the defensive attention and take 2 to 3 bodies. And Connor McDavid is also one of the greatest passers we've seen in the last 20 years. And he sets you up on a tee multiple times a game.
McChoke artist.
He can't win the big one, man.
Can't win the big one.
Can't win the big one.
I always love that they can't win the big one, but they get to the big one, and that doesn't matter to people.
Can't win the big one,
Is the Eastern Conference Finals a big one?
No, not a big one, dude. Not a big one. He's out. Get him out of there.
We're going to talk about this today on our NBA Top 10 show after the show.
Yeah, what counts? How many titles you got? No titles out of my top 10. How many championships have you won?
You can't lose in the championship, man. Means you're a choke artist.
Yeah, it was. I'm bummed for Edmonton. Somebody had a good point, too, last night on social media. Think about losing back-to-back Stanley Cup finals or championships in any sport. That's heartbreaking to get there and then lose back-to-back.
I'm a Niner fan. I've seen it the last few years.
Now imagine you're only halfway to being a full Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
You go again, and then you lose again. And then you go again, and you lose again.
Boy, the Minnesota Vikings really bailed out by the Buffalo Bills in the 90s,
really
weren't they? Because they were the Buffalo Bills before
that was
the
them.
Buffalo Bills.
That was them, and then the Bills got their 4 years in a row, and they lost 4 years in a row.
How would we react?
Let me ask you guys this. God, that is so painful. Can you imagine living through that?
What if Portland did something similar? What if they got to, like, three straight finals?
I mean, you're ecstatic that your team's in the mix. You're pumped that you're winning conference finals and going to a championship.
I mean, I know they almost got to three straight finals.
they
got
did.
To two in 3 years, and they probably should have gotten to three.
Yeah. They lost,
To the Lakers in
both times.
Pistons.
They came close to losing three finals in a row.
Yeah.
Close. How would we handle that, though?
I mean, that's
it was very
depressing.
Difficult to handle.
It's very depressing.
That was right.
But see, we're all. I was a baby. You were a.
I was.
You were a young lad.
I was. Yeah. Early.
Think about
it
now.
Early in college.
Think about it right now. Your age. Your fandom.
Yeah.
The Blazers losing back to back or even four straight championship opportunities. I'd be devastated.
Like I have.
I might quit the business.
I have a depression right now as a fan because there's a sense of hopelessness that we'll never get there. That's a whole nother level of depression because I think there's a part of where I'm at as a fan that I've almost kind of mentally and emotionally given up until they give me a reason to not give up. So you can't really hurt me right now with the bad things that happen. I just got to chuckle about it. If you're getting to championships, you've given me hope as
Four
a fan.
Four straight losses in the championship is...
Like you got to tell yourself at one point you got to win one. Like you get there enough times, eventually you're going to win.
Like it's devastating beyond description. Yes. I don't even know how I'd operate in the city of Buffalo.
I don't know.
Knowing my team lost four
and they haven't been back since.
Time.
They went four straight times. They haven't been back since.
No.
Now they got one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league.
And league MVP.
And they can't get through Kansas City. Can't beat them in the playoffs.
88-year-old Travis Kelce is still breaking their will.
Can't beat me.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to today on a hump day edition. We got college football. We got NBA. We got college baseball.
Hey.
Got a little bit of that hockey.
A little bit of that hockey.
We got some statter story to get to. We're going to go to Illinois for an NBA draft preview
Kasperis.
Of a player.
Kasperis.
Yakachonis.
Kasperis is a fun name to say.
So is Yakachonis.
Yakachonis.
Fits. So we'll get to that coming up at 7:30 for a daily ticker. Loaded show. Dirt and Sprague back with more. On the Fan.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Well, our first poll question of the day is up. Would seeing the Trailblazers lose four straight finals break you as a fan? Yes or no way? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
Still believe. No, it would break me. I'd be dead inside. I think I might just give up sports. I'd quit the industry. I don't know if I could do this anymore.
Well, let me ask you what you would have done if the Giants had not won those, get you three of these, and lost instead three of these.
Be pretty tough, man. It'd be pretty tough.
You would have saw them lost the Bond series.
Yes, 2002.
So you would have seen four World Series losses.
And like a 12-year stretch. Yeah.
I'll tell you, as a Braves fan, that's not fun.
No, you just got
to,
and look.
I know it well.
You want to win them all. Everybody wants to win them all. Just get one. Just let me celebrate one. Have one year that I could brag about. That's all I'm asking for.
If you get the one, then people make fun of you for only winning one.
That's true.
If again, you won, as a Braves fan, I know this life.
That's all you got.
You only won one.
I mean, the Dodgers have been great for 20 years. They've only won one real World Series. True. That's all they got. Just one real one that actually counts. Yeah. Nobody counts the other one, so he knows what that's all about.
Yeah, with a billion-dollar player who's not making any money this year.
Exactly. They got some cheating guy on the contract. He probably should be in prison. I don't know. Let's do some more investigating on
that
this.
Guy actually just checked into federal prison.
Federal prison. The translator's going away. How many years did he end up getting?
Seven?
Seven? Ooh, that's tough.
I might be wrong on that number.
That's tough.
How many times will Shohei go visit him?
I think Shohei's going to take care of him for taking the fall for him
Jim
when he
Carrey,
gets out.
Nipple on the window. Billy!
Come back to me, please!
So I wanted to look up, after I watched the Ice Cats dance last night, as I so predicted.
Yes, you did. 6-for-6 in the Stanley Cup Final.
You know, Basketball Dirt, he started off good. I would argue Basketball Brandon and Blue Line Brandon dominated.
Well, I would say this. I think I took a little bit more of a risk in picking Denver over OKC.
What do you mean?
I mean, that would have been a massive upset in the NBA playoffs. Would it not have been?
What were the odds? Massive is the Pacers beating the Thunder.
OKC was a heavy favorite against Denver. Denver fired their coach and general manager with a week to go in the season.
I think you're making things up.
You laughed at me and looked at me like I was crazy when they said they could win the series.
But they didn't.
They didn't. They went to seven games.
So I was right.
You ended up being right, picking the best team in the sport to win the series.
Yeah, well, you got to be ballsy sometimes, dude.
Sometimes you got to go on a limb.
I also took the Ice Cats. Take a risk.
I mean, they've never won a cup before. Oh, wait, that's right.
So I know everybody hates that Florida's good. Because Tampa was also good, and that state seems weird to have good hockey. I thought, okay, let's see just truly how unique. And first of all, let me just say this. Best trophy celebration of any sport, bar none. It's not really even close.
No.
It's the one that I will watch even if the team I was rooting for didn't win.
Yeah, it's the most rewarding. Like, even the players you don't know,
yeah,
everybody gets a lap or a half lap.
The guys that were hurt, the healthy scratches, the equipment guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
It just looks the most rewarding. I thought the trophy presentation in itself, like they treat that thing like it's a Greek god, which makes that trophy even cooler than it already is.
It is a Greek god. It's got superpowers.
I mean, if you have grown men wearing gloves to hold a trophy.
Can't touch it unless you want it, man.
Exactly.
Can't put a finger on that thing.
I think they are touching it, but yes, to your point, can't have your skin on it. Bettman, you know, I thought the whole presentation last night was fantastic. It easily dominates the one shining moment that the college basketball tournament tries to give us that we pretend is good, but it's not.
It also helps when you get the team that wins it on home ice. It's a little bit more impactful. If you're doing it on the road, everybody's upset. People will hang around and watch.
Well, that's the deal with any sport, isn't it?
Monotone reaction to it.
It's kind of a bummer. That's the Super Bowl bummer to me, is the Super Bowl champions playing at a neutral site.
Not quite the same.
The NBA Finals can give us that, too. We might get it in the next game with OKC in Indiana.
We could, unless Indiana wins, and then you get game seven back on at home ice, but home court.
I looked up, and I'm like, how many times have we had repeat champs? Because all I hear when I do watch hockey, which isn't all that often, is, it's the hardest trophy to get! And then I went through the list of Stanley Cup champions.
I don't know if it's the hardest trophy to get.
That's like literally like what they say about it.
I mean, you got to work really hard to get it, but from like the idea of winning one in your career, I don't think it's the hardest trophy to win.
Well, I'm just telling you what they say, and I've heard it a million times. From 1976 to 1983, two teams won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's really just a sport dominated by a team. There's a team in every era. You get some runs where there's like different, but there's a lot of back-to-back, three-peat, four-peat, four-peat, three-peat, two-peat, two-peat, two-peat. Not as much parity as I thought there was in that sport.
Well, I would say that a lot of the parity in hockey has come in the last 20 to 25 years as the league has continued to grow and evolve. And I think the skill level in the league has gotten exponentially better. I think if you go back in hockey's history, there is periods like that exists in the NBA, where it's one team dominating a decade, which clearly happened in the 80s, right? You had the Islanders who were great. Edmonton won a bunch of cups. Like, that is a part of their history. Early 2000s, you had, you know, Detroit winning a bunch of Stanley Cups. And so you had a lot of dynasty kind of runs. This is more so, I would argue, in the last 20 or so years. Like, post-2005, it's been a decent mix. Pittsburgh's nabbed a couple of them. They were the last one to win back-to-back cups. Outside of that, you're basically going on almost 20 years since it's happened. So it's been a while for the league, and it's been pretty balanced. And you've had random teams kind of come from nowhere and either get to a cup final or win a cup. And I think that's what helps the parity argument in the sport of hockey. If you go historically, though, yeah, you're 100% spot on. 70s, 80s, and 90s, even early 2000s, it was dominated by a lot of dynasties.
Takeaways for you guys. This is your sport. Watch the repeat Florida Panthers takeaways.
I mean, they're just incredibly impressive. I hate them because I don't want Miami to have anything nice. It's a terrible sports city. I don't think half the city even knew that they were playing a Stanley Cup final game.
You hate the team you just hate that Miami
has
I hate the fan base.
I hate the city. Hate the team. Right. I appreciate a lot of their play. Like, they are so impressive to watch.
Yeah, and the team is when the new owners took over and what they've done and how they talk about each other is pretty amazing. If you listen to a lot of the post-game on-ice interviews and those sorts of things.
They made some ballsy moves to get to this point, too, controversial moves.
And they weren't afraid to roll the dice when they needed to. Bringing Marchand on was, we'll see if now he's an unrestricted free agent, so I don't know. They got to pay Sam Bennett, who's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, they'll get to the point where all championship teams get, where you got to start paying guys, and you're going to lose some pieces along
the way. The salary cap in the NHL is more akin to the NFL. You can't skirt around it too much. I mean, there's some wiggle room to defer things and do signing bonuses and that sort of thing, but they don't have the revenue that the NBA or the NFL has.
No.
So I think the most expensive per-year contract is what, around 12 or 13 million?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
So, yeah, there's no $50 million contracts going out per year there for quarterbacks or number one NBA players.
Yeah, you're just incredibly impressed watching him play. Like, it's almost frustrating. I wanted Edmonton to win. I love Connor McDavid. I had a futures ticket on the Oilers. But all you can do after a series like that is tip your hat, man. Like, first four games of that Stanley Cup final were incredible all-time kind of games. We had two of the latest goals ever scored to tie in regulation. We had two overtime games. We had a double overtime game. It got off to an incredible start, and then Florida did what they do to teams down the stretch. They slowly kill you with one of the best goaltenders in the world with their
Bobrovsky.
Dude, Bobrovsky was unbelievable in the last two games. Their forecheck is suffocating. You can't get out of your own zone. They get out of their own zone clearly. They have big time players. They're heavy. They're fast. They're skilled. Like, they're such a well built team. And so you're almost in awe of watching them and how they've been designed and how they go out and play in big moments. And for Edmonton, it was the same story as it's always been. You have the best player on the planet, but he doesn't get much help in a big game when he needs it, and a lot of your offense dries up when you run into an elite goaltender. And then on the other side for them, it was stupid, boneheaded mistakes. Like, missed assignments, two guys going to the puck, leaving an open shooter. It's a shot going off the chest of Skinner that everybody thinks he's going to catch, but he doesn't catch it, and it deflects down, and it creates an easy rebound chance for Florida. Like, it just was little things that you cannot do in a Game 7 when you're not the more talented team to begin with, and that's the frustrating part if you're an Oilers fan, is that you have this great player, you've come so close back-to-back years, yet you're kind of the same team. You don't have a good goaltender, and you're not strong defensively when you need to be strong defensively. It was the same story for them in the Stanley Cup Final last year as it was this year. They had to play two different goaltenders in a Stanley Cup Final. When you got to do that, it's not a good sign.
You guys surprised they repeated? Or no?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I bet on Edmonton, man.
It was more of
a
fact of could they get it? Could they get healthy? Could they get Tkachuk back? They made the Marchand trade.
The Marchand trade was massive for them.
That was huge for them.
And they hated that guy, right? Wasn't he a
rival? Everybody hates Marchand. If you're not on your team, he is the. If Draymond Green's a good comp, but he's a Draymond Green. He's a better Draymond Green.
A good more player skilled. Who's just really good at being an
more offensive skilled. He is an absolute pest. He's a pain in the ass.
He was a monster in that Stanley Cup.
Little
but the
dirty
fact
things.
That they could put him on their third line.
Yeah, it just
that
is unfair.
that was the Edmonton. If they didn't have McDavid or Draisaitl out there, their third and fourth lines just could not generate anything.
No.
They couldn't have any zone time in the offensive zone. And then you saw second periods are really on the long change where Florida, if they were able to get in and cycle. And then they could just have the quick line changes there near the offensive end, and they would punish Edmonton with, yeah. And they just couldn't recover.
You guys feel good?
I feel good. I feel good.
I mean,
I'm sad that hockey's over. I'm bummed that it was a dud to end the series. The last two games were pretty forgettable.
Championships and best of sevens are
always tough. You were hoping Edmonton would put up more of a fight.
Put up a fight.
It was a Dodger-Yankee championship in a way. Like, the Yankees
for sure
had their moments.
Yeah.
They couldn't capitalize. Dodgers took advantage, and it was over.
Yeah, they gave up, was it 3-0, 2-0 at the end of the first, 3-0 at the end of the first? They gave up that leaky goal late in the period, and you're just like, dude, come on. Like. Come on, man.
Florida scored multiple goals in the first period of every game in the series.
I mean, when
can't do that.
I flipped over to watch a celebration, but when you're having me flip over to watch a Giants regular season game in the third period of a Stanley Cup final game, because I'm like, this game, they're not good. This game.
Yeah, I had to flip. I had the Dodger Padre game.
Rafael Devers is playing his first game. I'm watching that.
I'm like, why is Dave Roberts losing his mind right now?
Yeah, he got ejected.
Yeah.
I saw that. I also would love to tell you that despite me being cocky sniffing about predicting every Stanley Cup final properly, didn't gamble on it.
It's a missed opportunity, Bob. Yeah. Could have been really rich.
100%.
Could have been really rich.
100%.
If you would have parlayed your winnings
the bragging
after every
rights,
game.
You could have had a Ken Barkley-like run. Right?
The bragging rights felt almost as rewarding as winning money. I got to be honest. Like, I would watch and I'd be like, oh my God, I called that. And
you
then
did it again.
Game, oh my God.
You know what? I like money. Yeah. You know what? I don't like jokes.
You should have jumped on your own train at some point. Yeah, you were rolling.
Have some faith in
you
yourself.
You had the good feeling. You knew what was going to happen. You predicted every game correctly.
It's just me being cheap. That's all that is.
Little $5 parlays and then parlay the winning off of each game.
I almost
won a couple $100
three different times, and I look at that and I'm like, I don't want to lose $6.
You know,
delete. And then I go back, oh, I was right.
You gotta have faith, you gotta have confidence. Spreading the line.
Hey man, people are really mad, like super mad about this in sports. So of course we gotta scream about it next on The Fan.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched, no life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beaver baseball eliminated. I'll make an argument for it coming up.
I guess they went down with putting on a show. That was a fun afternoon of baseball.
That was interesting.
That was more entertaining than the hockey game, that's for sure.
College football continues to just be the dumbest sport, but we're the most excited for it.
Can't wait. Like 80-something days away.
I wish my favorite sport could be as stupid as that sport, and everybody's like, but I still love it!
That first Saturday's going to hit when it comes, man. I can't wait.
It really is,
though. Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
So we'll get to that coming up. We'll go to Illinois to get the lowdown on Kasparis. Yakachonis. I really have to draw out that S there at the
Yakachonis.
End.
Yakachonis. Future Blazer. TBD.
Kasparis Iakachonis is definitely a dude you walk in and is nailing your wife.
Oh, I don't want that. I don't want him coming to Portland then. Get him out of here.
Not like him, the player,
this
but like.
This guy's nailing people's wives? What, are you breaking news this morning?
I should have clarified
I
that.
Think he probably, yeah.
Not the player, but no, like the name. Like,
the name. Sounds like a guy.
Who's this tall, attractive man? What's your name?
Kasparis.
Kasparis. What's your last name?
Iakachonis. Where's he from? What's his nationality again?
Iakachonis.
Not even Swag knows that?
The Oracle
knows. He's Lithuanian.
Know. There you go.
He's Lithuanian. Yeah, I could see a Iakachonis in there. I get this guy out of my house.
So it's that time of year. Have you guys checked your watches?
It's June 18th. I know that.
So I would say about 3 to 4 times a year, everybody that doesn't watch the WNBA, they dive into the waters head first because they want you to know Caitlin Clark's been fouled.
She got assaulted yesterday.
And it's ridiculous.
Is she going to press charges out of this one? Because she should contemplate it. It was an eye poke and a bump down.
How will she ever recover? I don't know.
I don't know if she will. I think your hatred of Caitlin Clark is coming through.
Oh, it is.
Bubbling over.
It's so evident.
You're so anti-Caitlin Clark.
That Caitlin Clark poster in my daughter's room, man.
Trying to lift the league up. What are we doing here? We got to defend our stars, man. That's what we do as a sport.
No star's ever been fouled in a sport.
No, it's never happened before.
Stop it.
It's never happened before. Not like this. Not like this, it hasn't.
Look, it's like the only time that people talk about that league.
It is. Look, I know that for somebody who actually watches the WNBA, it's probably frustrating, and I grant you that. From a non-WNBA watcher, I will tell you, these kind of things, great for the league. Unbelievable
well,
for the league.
Well, they're telling me, see, everybody on the internet's telling me, this is a joke for the league.
Yeah, it's not. People are stupid. This kind of attention for a league who is fighting for more attention and more eyeballs, this kind of stuff cuts through. I used to make this joke about baseball. Early in the season in baseball, the only thing we would ever talk about is if there's a benches clearing brawl or a no-hitter or a perfect game. That was like it. You'd be like, hey, it's April. Hey, somebody threw a no-hitter. Do you know that? That's pretty cool. Or did you see that crazy fight between the Reds and the Pirates last night? Those are the only ways you could break through in certain pockets of the year. The WNBA getting this consistently, Caitlin Clark is their biggest player. She is their biggest star. Mm. And whenever there is controversy surrounding her, whether it's the side that says, dude, this is basketball, there's going to be hard fouls, or assault, let's press charges.
That's assault, brother.
Dude, it is incredible for the league. They are in the absolute mode of all PR is good PR. Whether you can't stand it or love it or you're outraged by it, it does not matter.
But you can't be outraged if you don't watch the league.
This kind of stuff gets eyeballs on their league.
I don't disagree with your overall point. I do also have a hard time saying you're outraged over a league you don't watch. That means
well,
you don't
care. Well, people are stupid. People are stupid.
I know people are stupid.
They watch Caitlin Clark games and that's it. Those people exist.
But they don't even watch all Caitlin Clark.
No, they do
like
not.
They watch half of a Caitlin Clark game and they go, I watch the dub.
I watch the WNBA.
Let me ask you this. So I don't know because I don't know how the internet works sometimes and I may have missed it. Did people show her pushing the player that ended up poking her in the eye earlier in the game?
She got, well.
Because there's two moments. That wasn't the only moment
that was
game.
The only moment, Bob.
That was
the
chippy
only
game.
Moment. Don't give me some AI-generated videos.
No, we've got, well, the Fever head coach went on a rant afterwards, which I grabbed.
Okay.
And
I heard the rant.
Yeah.
She's fed up.
All right.
There wasn't an explanation for the tech that she got. You know, I think it was pretty obvious that stuff was brewing, right? When the officials don't get control of the ball game. When they allow that stuff to happen, and it's been happening all season long. All season long. It's not just this game. It's been happening all season long.
Preach.
This is what happens, right? This is what happens. You've got competitive women who are the best in the world at what they do, right? And when you allow them to play physical and you allow these things to happen, they're going to compete. And they're going to have their teammates' backs. It's exactly what you expect, right, out of fierce competition. So I started talking to the officials in the first quarter, and we knew this was going to happen. You could tell it was going to happen. So they got to get control of it. They got to be better. They got to be better.
So not even a rant at the other team, rant on the officials.
Yeah, control of your league
officials.
That's
a shot to, and these
people
are
upset
things.
That what, somebody didn't get a flagrant when she bumped her down? Was that the issue?
I have no idea.
Because they got counteracting text.
Yeah, she got text. Yeah.
Well, then they set it up for later in the game. Was it Sophie Cunningham who did the tackle on the layup?
No, she just kind of grabbed her. She didn't tackle
well,
her.
Well, if you watch.
That could have been a flagrant.
So
they couldn't really call that.
Yeah, the point guard from the Sun was the point guard at Ohio State. So there was
J.C. Sheldon.
Yeah,
we got a history here then.
Slap-the-floor defensive out in front player in her career.
They had a moment where they were disagreeing about something, so she goes up to Caitlin to, like, talk about it. And she's not, like, in her face, she's not screaming at her, but they're talking, and Caitlin's obviously disagreeing. And basically, they kind of get close, and then Caitlin, like, kind of shoves her away.
Get out of my face. You're not on my level.
That was, like, the initiation of...
little peasant can't talk to me on the floor. Well, you know who I am?
So, like, this is all I'm pointing out. Caitlin...
I think there's back history from them in college in the Big Ten.
But also, like, are we going to forget that... Remember when she flopped at Iowa?
Hey.
Yeah.
She would never...
I'm just saying, like, this she's a competitor.
This is the state, the WNBA now, and this is what
I love
the
that
next...
this is going to drive you nuts. This is going to happen seven times a year, every year.
Well, why? I guess what I'm asking, yes.
Well, this is going to be
it's
in
not
going to
stop, dude. What are we, like, 3 weeks into the season?
This is what the players, if they're
already
going to
twice
ride,
with her and Angel Reese.
If they're trying to ride new media deals and whatever because of the popularity and Caitlin.
Keep fighting. Keep knocking each other down.
Then they've
it's good for the brand.
People keep saying this is bad for the league.
People are stupid. This is
a
great
joke.
For the
this
league.
Makes the dub look so awful. And
no,
I'm like,
no, it makes it look like
it's
the
a great idiots who don't know what they're talking
it's
about.
It's a great player who's ultra competitive.
Yes.
And she gives a lot back to those.
She
I watch these games.
She does. She yells
she
at them.
To them.
She's chippy.
Them.
Yeah.
She's chippy. She flops a little bit
once in a while. Hey, blasphemous.
She's great.
Erroneous.
I don't know. I feel like we're doing like a. Holding Caitlin Clark's Caitlin, hold my hand. We're gonna cross the street, and she's like, "I can cross the street. I'm a grown up."
She's the chosen one.
But then if she gets fouled, it's like, "Hey,
she needs to be chaperoned across
don't
the
foul
street."
Foul her.
That is the angel of the WNBA. Okay, you protect her at all costs.
You're right. Yeah. It's gonna happen seven times a year.
It's not
it's
gonna
the only
go
time
away.
People will talk about that league.
It's not gonna
by
go
the way,
away.
Sabrina had back to back 34 point games, and the Liberty had a 17.
And they
point
won by.
Rally.
They killed them last night. Yeah, I knew that.
Let me speak for America. Sabrina had what? What did you say she had?
Her second straight 34 point game.
And they won.
They
again?
Came back from 17 down to win.
But she's not Caitlin, and she didn't get fouled. So
exactly.
No one cares.
Well, I mean, I kind of care. That one's the outlier for me. I care about her. Duck, go Ducks.
You care so you Caitlin can say Clark. Go Ducks. That's all you care about.
She wins another title. That's basically equal to, like, one college football national championship. Her winning two back-to-back WNBA titles, basically the equivalent.
It's a good poll question. Dirt says if Sabrina wins two WNBA championships, that's basically
how many WNBA titles does she have to win in order for me to be able to count the COVID bubble title that they would have won if the season had get shut down?
Well, if she gets her
second
this
year. She wins five. Can I count that as a Ducks title?
And her contract's
up. How many do I need to win here?
And then comes to the Portland WNBA team and wins
yes,
one for the Portland
counts.
WNBA team.
That's also
team.
A Duck title. Joint
then
title.
I think
we're slapping the logo on that trophy while we're at it.
Would you rather have Juju Watkins or Sabrina Ionescu?
I think they
you're not
going to
have
both.
You get Sabrina, you're not going to be the worst team in the league.
Well, you wait till Juju comes out, then you sign Sabrina.
But that her free agency happens the first year we
tell her to sign a 1 year extension, stretch it out a little bit so she can come back home to Portland and win her title here, which she would have won in 2020 if the season gets shut down.
Also stupid.
Bigger concern to Fisa Collins went out with a back injury for the Lynx. So
yeah, call here.
Yeah. That's what I said.
You said Collins.
Oh, sorry.
All right, coming up next, Oregon State baseball. It's all over for my Beavs. Next on The Fan. Five, Bob. The number is five. That was how many times Oregon State in this postseason had been playing with backs against the wall and avoided elimination and been successful. That run comes to an end.
Came to an end yesterday.
Louisville beat them yesterday.
It's a tough one, too, because when you have a huge comeback and then you have second and third with nobody out in the ninth inning with a chance to take the lead and maybe put like a stranglehold on the game, they just missed their opportunity.
I mean, when that ball went through the Louisville shortstop's legs,
destiny. Yes, it was like, this is Arkansas all over again. That's a routine ground ball that should easily be an out, but instead,
you've learned if you've watched the Beavs. Nope, done three run. Nope, can't turn the game off yet.
I wanted to. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
They were not good up until that with runners in scoring position.
But even then, they weren't. They hit a ground ball to the shortstop.
That should have been out.
Went through his legs. They weren't good.
That game was,
was a huge
break. Was done. And then the bottom of the ninth happens. And
if Oaks comes up with the play cleanly, we might still be playing.
I mean.
Might.
Well, you can't be 2 for 27
So this is where they lost. 2 of 27 with runners in scoring position.
That's horrible.
And they went from like one of their greatest fielding seasons of all time defensively to they were the sloppiest, messiest team in Omaha.
Yeah, they had three errors in the game yesterday.
You can't win.
Kick the ball around in every game that they played.
They cost themselves their own opportunity, certainly.
Now, on the bunt that they misplayed, that was first and second, nobody out.
Yeah.
So even if you field the bunt, you throw them out at first, like, you can bring the infield in it maybe, but a fly ball ends the game. So I don't know if you're still playing. I mean, their backs were still incredibly against the wall. The missed opportunity that they had was second and third, nobody out, and you needed to take the lead there. Like, this is college baseball, man. Bullpens are unreliable. They brought in a dude who hadn't pitched in like 2 months to pitch in the ninth inning.
A freshman
who I know he threw the other game against Coastal Carolina, I believe, but like that guy hadn't thrown in forever. They bring him in at the end of the game. Like, they had their chance. When you get a bullpen on the ropes, you got to capitalize. They got the break of a lifetime with a ground ball going through the legs to tie the game. And then you needed a fly ball. You needed a ground ball. You needed one more hit. You take a lead. I think there's a totally different feeling there. But instead, you allow Louisville to get a little bit of a second life because even though they blew a three-run lead in the ninth inning, they still were tied 6-6, and they knew, okay, we go score one run, we win the game. Instead, their backs would have been against the wall. They let them off the hook. Great comeback. It just came up just short.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I almost wonder if they wasted all the bullets in that Florida State series. Because after that 14-run output, man, their offense never really looked the same.
I'm that way as a baseball fan whenever I see my team. Now, in that game, they had to score a lot because they gave up a lot.
Right.
But there's an aspect of, like, when you see your team win a game like 12-0, you're like, dude, enough. It's like, that's
dude,
like
I'm literally thinking
that's
it.
A week's worth of offense. You're using them up in one night. You're not going to get a hit for the next three games. We know how this stuff works out, man. Next game's going to be 2-1.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Dude, 2 for 27 runners in scoring position is pretty tough. But when they started the ninth inning that Arquette dude hit the home run, you're like, oh, but first pitch of the ninth inning too, that was a hell of a statement sent. It was a bummer to come up just short.
It was a bummer, but you know what? Big step for the program under Canham. They went back to Omaha.
Yeah, but can he win the big one though? You know, I don't know. He won a big one, but not the big ones. People are questioning.
One of our listeners, Daniel, put together their run. And since I think it's 05, and it was just like
Super Regional, World Series, Omaha, Super Regional.
We already knew they were a blue blood in that sport by this point, this was kind of the step. I think you wanted to win, obviously, but what's Mitch Canham supposed to do about them being 2 for 27 with runners in scoring position?
Baseball, man, sometimes the bats go cold when you need them.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how good your lineup is, that's the way the sport works.
Now, Avar Arquette's going to be an interesting player in Major League Baseball, a 6'5 shortstop. I can't wait to see what
expected to be a top 10 pick in the draft later this month.
He is incredibly fun to watch. That play that he had where he kind of was going up the middle, spin move, threw the guy out.
On the run as he threw it.
And then hit the bomb. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch.
They have a lot of dudes that, like, if they can run this back, and that's a big if, but if they can get a lot of them back, I mean, that's
the
certainly
question will be him, Turley.
I mean, those guys are gone, right? If
Singer,
you're top 10
Singer
pick in the draft, you're gone.
Singer wasn't sure what his future is. I believe I saw that quote correctly.
Is Turley, he would have one more year of eligibility.
I think he's got another year.
But they're talking about him maybe a second or third round pick.
If you're high draft picks are not probably good to come back. I think the one thing that they showed last year that they'll show again this year is this is a team at Oregon State that doesn't have to worry about the portal and guys leaving. They got a lot of young talent. Yeah. They brought guys in from the portal. So, like, they're going to be fine. I also had the takeaway. Oregon State's black unis are incredibly slick. I love them. They probably should have worn them, but they couldn't. The all-black baseball jersey, I'm out on.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Like, the black jersey, terrible. I'm okay with. The black pants with the
Wear
black
the white
jersey.
Pants with those black. Yeah.
It's just too much. Like, I just,
I agree.
Ugh, ugly. I'm
out
on that.
I tend to agree with that.
It was a bad look yesterday for Louisville.
My Beavs are out, but a great season nonetheless, getting as far as they did. Independent season, too, so having to play on the road most of the season. That's a hell of an accomplishment for Mitch Canham. We'll see what they do next year.
Yep.
But it is over for Oregon State in Omaha. Loaded second hour of the program. Hour 2 Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app, The Fan, and YouTube.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. and Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.